Praise be to God, and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Tonight's message comes from both Matthew 27, verses 50 through 54, and Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. And I would like to start by reading the passage from Genesis. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again, she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. And in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the first fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. This is God's word. Now tonight, if you stop and listen, you will hear the voice of Abel's blood still crying out to God from the ground. Anywhere you stand in this world, and at any time you stand there, you can still hear that call. You don't have to listen closely, because the voice is loud, and the only way to really block it out is through the distractions of your daily life. You see, the blood of Abel has been crying out since the day he was killed, and it hasn't yet ceased. It is as loud today as it was at that moment of his murder. Can you hear it? On May 20th, 1944, Abel's blood could be heard crying from the ground in Auschwitz as a 14-year-old arrived from another concentration camp. And he records the night in this way. The crematorium greeted us with its horrible tongues of flame coming out of its smokestacks. Those of us able to march set out towards the camp on foot and had to carry the sick. Many of the elderly refused to cooperate with the SS, which had taken the last little piece of food from them, and they were killed on the spot. After midnight, we entered the camp. And in the camp, we went to join the Czechs. For the first 2 days, we got nothing to eat. You see, that night, as he was walking towards Auschwitz, do you think he heard the voice? Do you think he recognized it as Abel's blood calling out to God for justice? Calling out for vengeance against his enemy? Now, he continues. He says, in the camp, it was well known that every transport was gassed after 6 months. I had been in the camp a month when the oldest transport was gassed, and they took us immediately to the selection, at which the strongest men and women were sorted out. The remainder were gassed. In the time that followed, he was a witness to acts of unimaginable violence and to thousands of executions by various means. Do you think that the voice of these thousands and the millions of others that were murdered in similar ways joined with Abel's? did the ground open up to accept their blood too? Now there are many, too many events all throughout history, from the time of Cain to the time of Jesus to present time, where the ground has opened its mouth in response to these acts of injustice. Where we see the blood flow down into it, but where the voices of the victims, not silenced after their final breath, have been raised up, upward into the chamber room of God. Alexandria Hill, age 2, was removed from her biological parents for what the county termed neglectful supervision. It seems that after her parents had put Alexandria to sleep, they smoked marijuana. And a neighbor detected the odor and called the police. That was when Alexandria was removed from her home and placed into the care of a foster couple. 9 months later, 2-year-old Alexandria was dead. And several months after that, the foster mother was guilty of capital murder and sentenced to life without parole. You see, God heard Alexandria's voice, even after it ceased to be heard here on earth. But here's a statement of comfort. God said to Cain, "The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." Now, it may not sound like it, but these are words of great comfort. How wonderful it is to know that there is no mediator, that the cry of Alexandria, the victims from the camps, Abel, that all of our own cries of injustice go directly to the judgment seat of God. He hears every single one of them and he answers them all. The injustice experienced throughout the world, in all times and in all places, does not escape God's notice or response. He is the God of judgment. He brought it upon Cain, and he will bring it upon everyone else. But hear this. When he doesn't act in the way that we demand, or in the time that we expect, it's a reflection of a failure of our faith, not a failure of his judgment. Now we read tonight in Matthew about the centurion, and starting in verse 50, it says, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. And when the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" Did he hear the blood of Abel that night? Even as the ground opened its mouth to receive the precious blood of Jesus, the cries of Abel could still be heard. Do you think that that centurion recognized that voice? And do you think he understood his participation in those cries? The scene that we witnessed is hard for us. The scene that he witnessed is hard for us to imagine. All around him was the darkness of night. Luke records it this way, that it came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining. The centurion felt the ground violently shake, and maybe he bore witness to the veil that was torn and the dead that were raised. But more locally, he looked upon the mangled body of Jesus that he helped hang on the cross. And he saw the precious blood pour out of that body and pour into the earth. But as he stood there, he had a glimpse of something wonderful. He recognized that there was something different happening above his head. As horrible as this scene must have been, as dark as it must have seemed, we know that something beautiful, something incomprehensible, had just been accomplished. You see, when Abel was murdered, his blood cried out for justice and vengeance. And God heard that cry and brought judgment upon Cain. But the blood of Christ, the precious blood of Christ, it did not cry out for vengeance against the centurion. And it doesn't cry out for justice and vengeance against you and me. You see, the blood of Christ cries out for mercy and grace. And it pleads to God, not that justice might be done, but that justice has been done. We may not shed blood, but the sins we commit demand the same response from God as those from Cain and the German soldiers and Alexandria's foster mother. God demands justice. And we cannot be just. But Jesus can, and he is. And because of his death on that cross, because of his blood that was poured out, because he became our sin, he fulfilled what we could not. He satisfied God's demands for justice. And there's no wrath left over for you and for me. None. None whatsoever. But what there is mercy and grace. What there is forgiveness for all of our sins. See, the blood that was shed at the hands of the centurion were shed for the centurion. That same blood that grants mercy and grace to you and to me was made available to him. And it's made available to Alexandria's transgressor. And it's made available to the German soldiers. Abel's blood cried out for justice. But Jesus' blood cried out, "Father, forgive them." And on that day, because of that death, the world was changed forever. We are reconciled with the Father, and his reconciliation is offered to everyone. We cry out, "Father, forgive us." And because of the work of his Son, he does. Now, I started by asking if you could hear the voice of Abel's blood, and I'd like to end with this. Can you also hear the voice of Christ's blood? And more than hearing, can you feel the proclamation of forgiveness, the assurance of mercy and grace flowing from the blood of Christ? Can you hear his blood calling out to you in forgiveness and in love and in mercy? Do you know that you are forgiven, that you are loved? This is the message of the cross, and it is a message just for you. Receive it. Rest in the assurance of God's forgiveness and God's mercy and God's love. It's all for you. I would like to pray using modified lyrics from a Matt Redman song that we've sung in this church before. So would you please pray with me? Lord, there's a place where mercy reigns, and it never dies. where streams of grace flow deep and wide, and where your love ran red, and where my sin washed white. Lord, it's at the cross, and it's there that I surrender my life to you. I owe all to you. At the cross is where my heart finds peace and forgiveness, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, and it comes flowing down. Lord, it's at your cross. And there my hope is found. And there on that holy ground, that's where I bow down. Lord, that's where I bow down. And my arms, I open wide because you, Lord, have saved my life. I owe all to you, Jesus. I owe it all. Lord, your love ran red and my sin washed white. And I am in awe of you here at the cross. Amen.